Sign up!
This is the OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Don't get sacked by the high cost of health care. Make Farm Bureau Health Plans your first line of protection. I'm Mike Keith. Amy Wells is alongside as usual. Amy
hello,
Wells,
Mike.
Hello.
How are you?
Good to have Coach Mac back.
Hi, guys.
And Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. Welcome back to the OTP as we finally reconvene this thing after a couple of weeks of being apart. So maybe we're about to get in some sort of rhythm, Amy, you think?
No chance, Mike. Absolutely no chance. It's 2020 still.
Oh,
there's
come on.
There's got to be something bizarre just around the corner. So,
Jim,
no
give
way.
Me something more positive than that. Come on.
I think we're going to get to a rhythm. No hiccups here the rest of the way. It's going to be smooth sailing. Fingers crossed here. Yeah,
that's right. Fingers crossed.
I haven't been working for me so far with my Dodgers in the postseason. Fingers crossed and I'm throwing it out the window. So maybe what Amy said is right.
The good news is I don't think Clayton Kershaw can pitch anymore. So I think you're okay. Let's talk about return from COVID. A lot of good news for the Titans on that this week. They have receivers that have come back, Adam Humphries and Cameron Batson. And Batson's on the practice squad, but he could certainly be called up to play. And has played, so that's really good news. Jeffrey Simmons, the best news of all to get Big Jeff back in the middle. But Jim Wyatt, Kari Blasingame's return is going to be an underrated one for two or three different reasons. Take me through why you think getting the fullback back is a big deal for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, he's kind of a two-for-one. I mean, not only you get somebody in front of Derrick Henry who has been effective blocking in front of him, but you also get a guy who's capable of running the football. Jeremy McNichols is on the injury report with ribs. And while he stepped in and played well when Darrington Evans went down the other night and now Evans is on IR, I think with Blasingame, you get a guy who can do a couple of things. Now, all these guys are – having to deal with adjustments when they come off this list. We saw it with Christian Fulton. He gets activated before the game on Thursday. He doesn't play because he didn't practice. Blasingame hasn't practiced in a couple of weeks. He was back out there today after being taken off this morning, but it obviously his body will have to adjust as well. But just having him available, having him as kind of a Swiss Army knife who can do a couple of different things for you, he's a valuable guy to have on your game day roster because he works on special teams as well.
Coach Mack, Jeremy McNichols is the backup running back with Darrington Evans on injured reserve due to the hamstring. Why does Mike Vrabel like Jeremy McNichols?
Well, because he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. He gives you everything that he has. I mean, he's got innate toughness running the ball, but he's also a good contributor on special teams. And anytime you've got a running back, most backup running backs in this league, look, it's always test a general manager and a head coach's Tetris skills putting together the active roster in normal times. In these times, it really does. So if you've got a guy that can do two things and do two things as to where you've got confidence in him, that's a huge plus. That's why he likes McNichols.
It's a very different player from Derrick Henry. I want to ask you a Derrick Henry question to begin. Through four games, Derrick Henry's long run is just 16 yards. Coach Mack, why is that?
Well, it's because people are stacking the box on him. I mean, they're bringing people down. That is no secret. We talk about it every week on all the programs that we're on. We get on the OTP and we will tell the OT people are going to continue to do that. That is a fact of life that we are going to have to deal with. And to be able to get somebody out, back, out in the open against an eight-man front, all of your blocks have to be really, really good. And that's important. And plus, to get a back out against an eight-man front, Mike, for long runs, your wide receivers have to get some real key blocks too. Just hasn't happened yet, but people are going into ball games saying, and defensive coordinators are saying this, you may beat me, Tennessee Titans, but this guy's not going to beat me from the jump.
And that's why Ryan Tannehill, what he's been able to do has just further solidified, I guess, in everyone's mind, just what a valuable guy this is and just how much of a good quarterback he is. You know, you know that the team's stacking the box, other teams are stacking the box against Henry. You're going to have, they're kind of daring you to throw it. Ryan Tannehill's without Corey Davis, you know, without Adam Humphries for this game against Buffalo. What does he do? He continues to find guys downfield, whether it's Khalif Raymond or A.J. Brown being back in the tight ends. He says, fine, if you want to try to stop Derrick Henry, we're going to throw it. 9 touchdowns, 1 interception this year has been phenomenal.
Amy Wells, you've been working sidelines for Titans Radio for 3 years now, right?
I sure have.
Have you ever seen a reaction on the Titans sidelines like the one after Derrick Henry's stiff arm of Josh Norman on Tuesday night?
I don't know, Mike. It was pretty up there in terms of solid celebration and reaction. Darren Bates just wins the award for most excited human being in the stadium. I mean, his head spun all the way around. He was so excited. It was crazy. But it's funny now because while there were fans back in Nissan Stadium, and that was awesome, there's still not a ton of fans in Nissan Stadium. So it is quieter. So you can kind of hear some of the reaction on the sidelines. And it was like someone was handing out money. They were so excited. Like, it was great. I love a good stiff arm. It's one of my favorite things about football just in general. That one was a work of art. It was beautiful. So the reaction was warranted.
Coach Mack, you've seen a couple stiff arms in your time. Where does that one rate?
Oh, wow, it's way up there. And look, and that's comparing it to when I first got in the league, Walter Payton. Walter Payton had one of the best soup bones on his right arm that anybody in the history of the world ever had. I mean, he would knock people out with it. But Derrick Henry, what makes Derrick Henry so deadly, too, is he is so long. He's so long that he's got not only leverage, but he's got massive strength. And plus, he's, you know, being able to shoot a stiff arm, guys, is a lot like a batter in the box. It's about timing, too, because you can stick it out there too early, and defensively you teach people to chop club it, to get it down. But he's got great timing with it, and when he pushes it out there, it's like a boxer's punch. You're down. Josh Norman knows all about it. Let's call him and ask.
The thing that makes it so good, too, is that it's not forced. It is an organic stiff arm. Derrick Henry has been doing this since he was a kid, like since he was playing in middle school and junior high and high school. He has been doing the stiff arm. I asked his football coach back in Yulee, like when this whole thing started, and he goes, oh, he's been doing a stiff arm forever. I can't believe people get so excited about it. It's just part of his game. Like, that's what makes it so good, is that he doesn't even like plan it in advance. It just happens. Oh, it's so great. It's my favorite.
Jim Wyatt, okay, in terms of history, I'm not going to ask you if it was the greatest stiff arm in Titans history, but I will ask you, is it the greatest play in Titans history that did not count?
I think that's probably true, other than Joe Nedney missed field goal that didn't count when the fireworks went off. That was a bad play in Titans history. That was a memorable
play. They made one too, though.
That's true. So I would have to say, I mean, and right, trying to think of his famous stiff arms, the best one of all of them. He seemed like he stiff armed every Jaguar on that 99-yard run. The one at Earl Thomas where he spun around like a top was spectacular. But this one, where he de-cleated Norman and sent him flying, I think has to rank number one on the list. I mean, and Norman just got, his footwork was bad. He was off balance. He was in a perfect position to be pole vaulted, and that's what happened.
I tell you, Coach Mack, the thing I want people to do when they go back and watch it again is to watch Micah Hyde, a defensive back who's right behind Norman coming into the play. He sort of chokes the old motor down when he sees this happen, realizing that Henry's probably going out of bounds, but I don't think he really wants any part of that at that moment. He sees it, and it's like somebody who's just seen an accident. He sort of freezes.
Yeah, he didn't want to be around it. It's kind of like if you've ever driven in the country when two deer run across the road, when you hit that first one, that other one turns around and gets out of there. So he did not want to be around any part, because he didn't want to be any part of shrapnel that might have come off of that explosion.
Amy Wells, what do you think was the best take out there on the Derrick Henry stiff arm? Do you have a favorite?
Gosh, I don't know if I had a favorite. There were some pretty good memes and things that people were posting on social media, really enjoy scrolling through Twitter after a big Titans moment. Titans fans are hilarious. We have the funniest fans in the whole National Football League. And there were some very solid like memes and Twitter responses to the stiff arm. So I'm going to say that Titans Nation as a whole remains undefeated in that realm.
Jim?
Yeah, I enjoyed all the memes. I mean, sent me one later in the evening, a guy that was driving through Atlanta and showed him clutching his steering wheel. And you could see the street signs going through the middle of Atlanta. All of a sudden, there was Josh Norman kind of flying over the interstate overpass. Somebody kind of superimposed his body in there. So I saw a lot of that stuff. Obviously, the one with Norman landing on top of a table, the Bills Mafia is famous for. It was pretty comical, no doubt. And Norman, anybody knows the history between Norman and the Titans. We all remember him having a little chatter with Taylor Lewan when he was here with the Redskins a couple of years ago. I think probably Taylor enjoyed seeing that as well.
All right, speaking of chatter, Dave McGinnis, I'm dying to ask you about this. Andrew Catalan, who does games on CBS and does an outstanding job, did the Houston-Jacksonville game last weekend. And he mentioned that Romeo Crennel, who is the oldest man in NFL history now to coach and to win a game at age 73, was preparing for his first game as interim coach of the Texans last week and got on the horn with Bill Parcells, who brought him into the league with the Giants in 1981. So knowing what you know about Romeo Crennel and knowing what you know about Bill Parcells and knowing what you know about coaching, what do you think that conversation was like? What did they talk about?
I'm glad you asked that because, you know, first of all, Romy's worked, you know, he's worked for Parcells. He's also worked for Belichick. And what he was calling Bill about was he was just checking in with him saying, look, here's the situation. I don't know how well you've been keeping up with it, but let's just refresh a little bit about what your thoughts on going in as an interim coach with these circumstances. Here are my circumstances. Just give me your free flow thoughts. I've done that before. When I got that interim job at Arizona, I called Jeff Fisher the same way. I said, look, I know you've done this. Just give me your thoughts. He said, give me an hour. I'll call you back, and I'll give you as much time as you need. That's exactly what Romy did, and that's what Parcells did.
So what sorts of things do you run through in those conversations? What are some of the key points?
The first thing you ask him is how about would you change the roster up, or would you just try to re-energize the guys that we've got? Because a lot of times what happens when someone comes in as an interim, they'll start interchanging players. In other words, you might be the first team, or Jim White might be behind you, and I might say, okay, to make it look different, Jim, you're starting this ball game, okay? How much do you change and how much do you stay the same? Are you going to hope that the fresh blast of oxygen just gets everybody rejuvenated? Or do you have to start doing some things different in practice? Do you change practice times? Do you change practice schedule? Do you stay on the same schedule but hope that the re-energizing happens just organically? All of those things are important. And I think each one of them, and that's why, you know, Parcells would ask him, well, tell me what's going on in the building. Let me know what the locker room's like. That's what Jeff Fisher asked me. What's your locker room like, Mac? How are they thinking? You know, where are they? Are they still together? Are they segmented? Is everybody trying to protect their own territory now? All of those questions are asked, and then you start to formulate a plan. That's what I did, and I know that's what Romy's going
to
do.
I want to go to the thing that we always go to about guys playing against their former teams. And I've got two situations, and I want to ask Amy and Jim about one, and then I'm going to ask Coach Mack about the other one. Amy, you're going to go first on this.
Of course.
How motivated – do you want Jim to go first?
No, I want to go first.
Okay. How motivated do you think Jadeveon Clowney is to play the Texans for the first time after they wouldn't give him a contract last year and they traded him to Seattle?
What is more than extremely? Like, is there a word for more than extremely motivated? Because I'm pretty sure that's what he is. The first time he's playing his former team.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But he doesn't. But this is not the team to whom he was traded. That was Seattle. So I guess my question is, do you think that's kind of worn off a little bit? He did not play them last year.
No, absolutely not. No, things like that don't wear off. Some wounds don't heal. You just get angrier and angrier. And I'm hoping that that has been stewing inside of him for a while. And on Sunday, it can come out violently.
All right, Jim, what's your take? You're not as angry as Amy, so I just kind of worry.
Well, I definitely think it gives him extra juice. There's no question about it. I know Jonathan Joseph was asked today just about facing the Texans, his former team. And he says, yeah, that happens a lot, you know, across the league. You know, I played against the Bengals when I was with the Texans. And there brings a little extra significance to the game. I think with Clowney and his unique situation, leaving the Texans, it'll give him motivation. But I think with him, I think he's just chomping at the bit to really make that big, not signature moment, but just to make that breakthrough for the Titans. He's been close. I mean, he hasn't recorded the sack yet. I think he's been active. He's been close on several plays. It just hasn't happened for him yet. And you certainly know he would love to have kind of the breakthrough come against the Texans.
And obviously, Amy, that's something that Mike Vrabel wants. The two of them have the sort of relationship where Vrabel can be very frank with him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Clowney said from the very beginning that he wanted to be a part of whatever Mike Vrabel's doing. He wanted to be in that place. He respects him. They have that relationship already established. So yeah, Mike Vrabel knows what buttons to push to make him go. Mike Vrabel knows how to interact with him and how to engage with him to make sure he's motivated and make sure that he's doing the things he needs to be doing. That relationship, I think, is something that's really key to why Jadeveon Clowney wanted to be with the Tennessee Titans and why Mike Vrabel puts in the effort and the time to make sure that he's constantly able to go. And hopefully this Sunday, he's able to get that big break that he's kind of been flirting with for the last couple games.
Okay, Coach Mack, I've got another question for you, but do you want to chime in on Jadeveon Clowney against his former team before we move on?
Yeah, it's a division game. That's bigger. I mean, that's bigger, even though it's not the team that he was traded to when he left Houston. It's a division game. It's big. And the other thing you got to know, too, I know you know it. I know the OT people know it, too. We play them twice a year.
Yes.
So this is not going to be his only chance to play against them. But, yes, absolutely. It's a motivating factor whether you say it is or not.
All right. Now, Jim mentioned Jonathan Joseph. He was with the Houston Texans for 9 years after starting his career with the Cincinnati Bengals. He is beloved in Houston, the locker room, the team, the city. Him walking away from them was not – it didn't seem to be a bitter departure. It's like the Titans wanted him for a very specific purpose. The Texans were kind of moving in a little bit of a different direction. But what I'm wondering from you is, we hear about guys coming into a building and they can give you great intel on their former team. And let's face it, Coach, in most cases, that's absolutely not true. Most guys can't tell you much of anything. Can Jonathan Joseph be the different kind of guy in that he can give the Titans a lot of great insight into how to play against this Texans offense?
Yeah, I'm going to start. The first thing is I love Jonathan Joseph, and I love him because of this. Yeah, I've got much respect for players in this league, but players in this league that are able to last that long at that position, they've got a lot to them. So, I have much respect for Jonathan Joseph. I'm really happy he's on this team. I know Mike Vrabel's happy he's on this team for a lot of reasons other than just playing defensive back, which he's doing very well. To your question, he can really help the people in the secondary as far as nuances of routes that these receivers run, because he's the kind of player that would have studied that the whole time that he was there, going against them in practice, going against them in training camp. He will know. He can tell you, can tell them, his teammates now, watching tape, all right, look, this is what this guy does. This is what Stills does when he's getting ready to double move you. This is what you're getting ready to see out of this move here. He can give them technical instructions as far as the receivers versus the defensive backs. He will bring that to the table. Look, he's not going to bring, look, they're going to do this on this down. They're going to do this on this down. You know, play calling, that's not what players do when they come in. Whenever we would bring somebody in and debrief them, I've done it a lot of times, you debrief them more on personnel than you do on what they're going to call and those types of things, because that's up to the person calling it. But you can debrief them on strengths and weaknesses of the personnel that you're trying to get matched up on.
All right. So I want to go back. We're going to end with two questions going through the three of you. Amy, do you want to go first or last? I'll give you the choice.
Last.
Okay, Amy's going to go last. So, Jim, you're going to go first on this one. Think about Tuesday night. Think about all the performances put on by the individual Titans. Who's the player you were happiest for, most proud of, most excited about? Thinks, if you had to hand out one game ball, Jim, who would you hand your game ball to from Tuesday night?
That's a good question, because there were a lot of guys who made big, you know, big plays in that
game. Jim, you have one game ball.
But I'm
going
to go with one.
One game ball.
One game ball to Malcolm Butler. Just because I think he impacted, you know, two plays, obviously, on defense that set up the offense and kind of set the tone. You know, there was an uneasy feeling, I think, for a lot of people going into this game. How would the Titans come back after being off for so long? How would they deal with this adversity, deal with players out? Malcolm Butler kind of changed that conversation, really changed the mood in the stadium with that big interception early, and then he made another one late. So, and just him being able to stay alive. I saw your call. I think the team tweeted out your call of that play last night, Mike, and just to see your enthusiasm. I saw it gave you a spark. I think it gave everybody a spark. So I'm giving the game ball to Malcolm Butler.
Jim, I'm so proud of you. You gave one answer. That's so great. You
usually
left answers. You left answers for the other people. Okay, Coach Mack, you go next. Who's your one game ball, knowing that Malcolm Butler has been taken?
A.J. Brown. Just the fact that he was active made a huge difference. That flipped the script really quick. And then to be able to be so productive early, not just the fade for the touchdown, I'm talking about the bang eight, and I'm talking about those plays on the inside where they knew now, you know what, we're going to have to deal with this dude. And that opened up the middle, you know, for Khalif Raymond, just having his presence out there. And all of a sudden now Buffalo's looking over there saying, now we've got to deal with their number one receiver, A.J. Brown.
By the way, A.J. Brown last year against the Texans had over 100 yards receiving in both games. So maybe a good sign he's going into this game this weekend, coming off a strong performance against Buffalo. All right, Amy, you wanted to go last.
Yeah, that was stupid.
A.J. Brown is gone. Malcolm Butler is gone. Who would your one game ball go to?
Mike, I thought I could beat the system and go last, and that was a bad choice because my two that were in my brain are now gone. So, again, yes, these games are stupid. I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill. He had a very tough couple of weeks leading up to that game. He had a fantastic game, and he really showed leadership in all facets of what leadership in that position should be. Leading up to the game, then having the good game, being able to work with a rather depleted roster on offense. He didn't have a lot of the weapons he's used to having, and still was able to have a commanding game and had a strong performance. So I'll give it to Ryan Tannehill because my other two were taken.
Mike, are you going to give a game ball? Because I'm not going to say anything if you're going to give one yourself, but I was going to follow up. If there was an extra game ball in the equipment, I was going to give one to someone else, but I don't want to take your guy if that's your true.
My guy was going to be Chris Milton.
Okay, well, that's a good one.
I think Chris Milton is a really great special teams player for this team. And much like Derrick Henry with the stiff arm, I mean, when he tackled Roberts on the one rodeo tackle that he made down there, when he downed the ball, he fought off Roberts and downed the ball. Those are the types of plays, too, that get a sideline and get a crowd fired up. And when you win those plays, those are underrated in how the overall flow of the game goes. So while I'm not going to say another one because I don't want to Jim Wyatt it. So who is going to be your second?
Well, my second one, who really deserves it more than any player, and I'm not sucking up to the head coach here, but for a head coach to have to deal with everything that Mike Vrabel has dealt with over the course of the last couple of weeks, and it wasn't just on Mike Vrabel, anybody at the organization's had to deal with this hit. But just for him to continue his no excuses mantra, to be able to get this football team ready to play without really practicing, not knowing who's going to be available to you, guys coming off the COVID list, guys coming off the practice squad, really mixing and matching a lot of things, and to be able to have this football team ready to play. I mean, I thought it was remarkable. It's probably one of the best coaching jobs I've ever seen for a coach since the team has been in town. So I think certainly Mike Vrabel deserves a heck of a lot of credit.
Coach Mack agrees with that.
Big time. I mean, I can't even imagine. And I've done that. 3 decades I coached in this league. So I've seen a lot of scenarios. And I told Mike Vrabel this, you know, too. I mean, much respect. I can't even imagine all the permutations that he and the entire staff and the organization went through. And the way they handled it just shows you what solid ground this organization is on with the people that are making decisions. That was really, really big time.
The OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. When it comes to your health care coverage, you should be the one to make the call. So call Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Amy Wells, last question. I know you hate these. Do you want to go first or last?
Last again.
Okay. And you will be graded on your answer, by the way. So you were,
course,
I think you were very.
Of course I will. Yeah, sure.
You were, no, everyone will. I think you were very good. Smart to go last in this case. Coach Mack, you're going first.
I can't wait to go first. I was always the first guy in line at every drill I ever ran as a player. I always the first one in the building. I'm ready to be first.
If the Titans defeat the Houston Texans on Sunday and go to 5-0, give me a player who will have played well in the ball game to make it happen. And again, you will be graded.
Roger Saffold.
Ooh, why?
They're going to have to block the interior. That's something that they need to do. And Mike Vrabel talked about this. To be able to dominate up front, it all starts there. Even though you're running an outside zone, the combination blocks start early on. Roger Saffold is the best athlete up front that we have next to Taylor Lewan. To get those combination blocks early with he and Ben Jones, the run game will germinate off of that.
A. Jim Wyatt, can you get an A with your answer?
Well, this may be the easy A because I'm going with Derrick Henry, you know, who is pretty much a given every week, but this is a game where I think he maybe has a lot of success. The Texans are ranked 31st in the league in rushing defense. I think they're getting up 164.2 yards a game. You know, we talked about Derrick Henry and his inability to break the big one. I think this is a game where he breaks the big one and takes some of the pressure off of an offense and a team that is on a short week. So I'm going Derrick Henry.
You were going to get a C for obvious, but because your explanation was good and you had a stat in there, you get a B. Amy Wells, let's see what you get here. Titans beat the Texans. Who's one player who makes it happen?
I'm going to say Big Jeff because, because we got to keep Deshaun Watson uncomfortable early and often. And I think that Jeffrey Simmons is the guy to do that. And I'm excited for him to be back on the field. I missed him when he was gone last week. I'm ready for him to be back. And I think that he could be a major contributor in the Tennessee Titans victory over the Houston Texans.
B plus.
Hey, I'll take a B plus.
Good answer. The other thing too, Coach Mack, batting passes is a big deal when you play against the Texans. You're probably going to have a chance to bat more passes than you're going to have to be able to sack Deshaun Watson.
Cage rush and cylinder pressure is what you have to do against this guy. And here's what I mean by that. Cage rush is disciplined, pushing the center guard triangle back in his face, and then caging on the outside. You can't – against a quarterback like this that has multiple escape areas because his foot fire is so quick within the tackle box, you've got to be able to rush the edge but push it and then get to his level and then level off and start to squeeze from the outside in. The squeeze from the outside in doesn't work if you don't have pressure up the middle. Cage rush.
I'm going to let Jim Wyatt go because I know he needs to take care of the injury report, which we will end with here. Titans with 16 guys on the injury report, but only one listed as questionable, and that's Daquan Jones because he did not practice today. the other 15 all practiced today in some way, shape, or form. The Texans, Jordan Akins, tight end, ankle and a concussion, limited all week, questionable. Buddy Howell, hamstring, limited all week, questionable. He's a running back. Peter Cambalaye, linebacker, limited all week, questionable. And then Cornell Armstrong, a corner, added to the injury report today, limited, and he is questionable. Otherwise, the Texans are healthy. So, you know, they're going to get a healthy football team, going to get a motivated football team. It is going to be something to see at Nissan Stadium. And by the way, just remember this. When people are talking about what a massive favorite the Titans are in this ball game over the 1-4 Texans, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh, they could have played great in their first three games and lost all three.
And I'll say this. I mean, not that this is for amusement purposes only, but the line on this game, surprisingly, is 3.5. And usually, you know, from I'm told that the home team, usually you can factor in giving them a 3-point advantage because
they're
at home. So somebody's thinking this game is going to be tight. And I understand it. This is a division game. These teams know each other well. The Texans certainly have had some success against the Titans over the years. This is going to be a tough, hard-fought game on Sunday. And, you know, we have seen the Titans be able to win games like this in the Mike Vrabel era, and I think it's going to take another one of those tight performances on Sunday.
I've watched all of these games on tape, and if you sit down and watch the tape and run it back and look at it, you know that they played some really good teams early, and they are not a bottom-of-the-barrel football team. And especially at this time of year, in the first quarter of the season – and especially this season, because of everything that is so uncertain, not only with our roster, the other 31 around the league, you can't pay attention to the records right now. Pay attention to what the tape tells you, and that what the tape tells you about this team is, you better be ready to play.
For Jim Wyatt, Amy Wells, and Dave McGinnis, Mike Keith says thanks for joining us for this edition of the OTC. Where the legends go. Everybody knows it's our house, fighting for Tennessee, making history, greatness is meant to be ours now. Hey, we got Titan blood running through our veins.